Welcome to the deep dive. Look, we know you want to get smart, fast, on topics that matter. So today, we're tackling, well, a pretty significant one, the work of the Son as Christ, theologically speaking.
Yeah, and there are definitely different takes on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So our goal here, our mission, is to sort of nail down the core aspects. What is this role really about? And, you know, why does it still resonate?
Well, the first thing I think is realizing it's not just about Jesus the human. That's key.
Right.
The idea, the core theological point, is that salvation works because he was fully God and fully human. Both parts are essential.
Like that idea from Gregory of Nazianzus, that what he didn't assume, he couldn't heal.
Exactly that. If he didn't fully take on human nature, then our human nature isn't fully redeemed. It has to be complete.
And it wasn't a solo mission either, was it? The sources really stress the Father sending the Son.
Sending him as Redeemer, yeah. And the Holy Spirit's power, you know, bringing about the incarnation itself, like you read in Luke's gospel.
Yeah, and you see the whole Trinity involved at really pivotal moments.
Oh, absolutely. Think about Jesus' baptism.
Mm-hmm. The voice from heaven, the Spirit descending.
And the transfiguration, too. Same thing, really. Father's voice, the glory.
Even in Gethsemane, that struggle, and on the cross itself, you see this interplay.
You do. The Father's will, the Son's obedience through suffering, the Spirit sustaining him. It's all there.
Okay, so to help us get a handle on all this, theologians often use a framework, right?
Right. The threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. It's a way to understand the different dimensions of his messianic work. Not like separate jobs, but facets.
Gotcha. So prophet first. How does that work? Is it like predicting the future?
Not primarily. Think of it more as looking back in a sense. Jesus as the Logos, the Word of God.
Okay.
Speaking with the Father's full authority.
Mm-hmm.
Calling people back to their, well, their creational responsibilities, how things were meant to be.
But he doesn't just tell us.
No, that's crucial. He shows us his life is the example self-giving love, even to death on the cross. It's the ultimate demonstration.
And that phrase he used, Son of Man, that connects here.
It does. He develops that concept. It's not just his title. It becomes a shared identity for his followers, a call for us to return in obedience to the Father, just like he modeled, especially in Gethsemane. You see that in Philippians, Hebrews.
Now, I know there are other perspectives, like some thinkers focusing more on the example aspect of his death.
Right, like Abelard or later the exemplary theory people. They saw his death more as a powerful demonstration of God's love or a model of perfect obedience and fellowship, aiming to inspire us. It's a different emphasis on what his actions mean.
Interesting. And this leads to some pretty deep ideas about God, doesn't it? Like the Father's vulnerability.
It really does. Moltmann talks about this powerfully in The Crucified God, the idea that God isn't distant, but deeply involved, even vulnerable in the Son's suffering, his kenosis or self-emptying.
And that allows us to somehow participate.
That's the idea. Participating in his death and resurrection, he's the ultimate prophet showing solidarity with humanity's suffering. Think of the suffering servant in Isaiah.
Okay, so that's prophet. What about priest?
Priest is about that once for all self-giving sacrifice, laying down his innocent life for our sins.
You see that everywhere in the New Testament.
Everywhere. Matthew, Mark, John, Paul's letters, Hebrews, Peter, John again. It's central. Mm-hmm. This is his unique work. It's not something we replicate. It's the basis for our justification, being made right with God.
And it's important to distinguish here, right, between imputed and imparted righteousness.
Yes, very helpful. Imputed is the status change. His rightness credited to us, that's a priestly work, foundational justification. Imparted is the ongoing process, the Spirit working in us. But that first step, being declared right, is Christ's priestly act alone.
And he's still active in that role.
Absolutely. Advocating, interceding for us. It continues.
Right. Okay. Thirdly, king.
King. This looks forward. It's about his authority, his victory, filled with the Spirit's power, right from conception through to his ascension.
This is the Christus Victor idea, Christ the Conqueror.
Exactly. But it builds on the other two roles. He's not a conqueror in spite of being prophet and priest, but through it.
How so?
He's the self-emptying victor. He conquers death by dying. He purchases our deliverance through his sacrifice. It flips the whole idea of power upside down. Think of the divine warrior imagery in Isaiah, but fulfilled through suffering love.
So his kingship is actually revealed in his humiliation.
Paradoxically, yes. John's gospel, Philippians 2, Revelation, they all link his glory and authority to his suffering and death. He's the ransom, the substitute.
And this kingship has consequences.
For sure. Judgment for those who ultimately reject his loving rule, but shepherd-like care and guidance for the redeemed. It's all part of this, well, cosmic struggle against evil, against sin that enslaves us.
You see that in Revelation, the final battle.
Right, culminating in Christ's ultimate victory. Alan really focused on this Christus Victor drama, the decisive turning point in the war against darkness.
So prophet, priest, king, it all culminates in him being Lord and Judge.
Precisely, because he, through the Father's will and Spirit's power, fully took on human nature without losing his divinity. That's the mystery Chalcedon tried to articulate.
Yeah.
He reveals God's own personality. He is the one holding everything together, as Colossians says.
Which makes knowing the historical Jesus, the one the apostles testified to, so vital.
Crucial. We can't just project our own ideals onto him, whether it's, you know, some nationalistic figure or just a modern social hero. We need the actual Jesus of Nazareth.
And the resurrection is the confirmation.
The ultimate confirmation. The empty tomb, the appearances, it transformed skeptical followers. It converted Paul. The claim is staggering. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, risen from the dead, is the Lord, the very foundation of all existence.
He really is the ultimate revolutionary, then, the one who gives meaning to everything else.
You can say that. And the Father raises him through the Spirit servant. Romans, Ephesians, Peter all talk about this power. He ascends as Lord.
Which leads to the call for us, right? Make disciples, baptize.
Yes, share the good news, live in the reality of his lordship, and await his return as the righteous judge. He is creator, redeemer, Lord, and judge.
Wow. Okay. So prophet, priest, king, these aren't just labels. They unpack the multifaceted work of the Son, all pointing toward his ultimate identity as Lord and Judge.
That's a good summary. It's about seeing the richness and the depth of what Christ accomplished.
So here's something for you listening to maybe mull over. How does really grasping these different facets, the prophet showing the way, the priest making the sacrifice, the king winning the victory, how might that shift your perspective on who Jesus is and what his work actually means for you today? Lots to think about there.